And joining me right now here on the phone line to go over the latest on the big contract news for Josh Allen with the Jaguars today, and we'll preview the Florida Gator spring game coming up on Saturday as well. This guy does a great job covering both teams, the Jags and the Gators, for Sports Now up there in Jacksonville. He's my good friend, John Ferry. John, how you doing today?
Mark, doing great. Great to be back with you and your listeners on a beautiful spring day, and there's a lot going on. Even though it's April 10th, there's a lot of football news. Josh Allen got his contract extension today, the Florida Gators spring game in 3 days. So a lot of football to talk about in April.
Let's talk about Josh Allen. It's been a conversation you and me have had, you know, all last season, where wanted the new contract, didn't get it, and it kind of felt like it was a surprise this morning. You saw the tweet from everyone, $150 million, what, 88 guaranteed. What's your thoughts on this five-year deal?
Well, it was a surprise to start with, at least to yours truly, the timing of it. I think it's a great deal. I think it's something the Jags should have gotten done a couple of months ago, to be quite honest about it, but better late than never. This is the first player to put how bad this franchise has been over the years to reach his second contract since the year 2015. Tyson Alualu, for those that remember that pick from 2010. So the Jags need to start rewarding players that have produced for this franchise. They haven't had many of them. So they couldn't let Josh Allen get out of here, which they franchise tagged him, which I think they could have done differently, which I'm sure we'll get into in a moment. But I think it's a great deal. It breaks out to about $30 million per year. Josh Allen is 26 years old, for those that don't know. Set the franchise single-season record in sacks with 17.5 last year. So, and he's great in the community and the locker room from all accounts. So I think it's a great day for the Jaguars as far as being able to retain one of your own.
The question is something you texted me this morning. Why now? Because like you said, if you would have done this before, could you have kept Calvin Ridley in another scenario then?
I think if they could have got it done before early March, I want to say it was March 5th, that was the deadline to franchise tag players. So if they could have gotten Josh Allen's deal done prior to March 5th, they would have put the franchise tag on Calvin Ridley, Mark. There's no doubt. Now, there are some that are arguing, would Calvin Ridley have been worth the $22 million that the franchise tag would have cost them? At this point, I would have done it because they don't have a number one receiver on this roster as it stands right now. And what I mean by that is a guy that can take the top off an opposing defense, go deep, put the fear in opposing corners. I think they're going to draft a receiver in a couple of weeks in the first two rounds, maybe even at number 17. But I think it was a miss on Trent Baalke, the timing, the general manager for the Jags. I think everybody knew Josh Allen was going to remain a Jaguar, that the Jags were going to get the deal done. You knew that. I mean, and some are arguing that Josh Allen wouldn't have signed it back pre-March because they were waiting on him and his representatives, the Brian Burns deal, to see where the market would lay for defensive ends. That could partially be true. I think Trent Baalke and the Jags could have done a better job in negotiations where they could have assured both Calvin Ridley and Josh Allen would be Jaguars. But overall, a great day for the organization that Josh Allen will stay, be here the next 5 years. But there is a hole in that wide receiver room right now in Jacksonville, and I think partially because of the timing of this.
Okay, here's the fun question, and there's no wrong answers. We're here with John Ferry talking about Josh Allen signing the five-year contract extension today with the Jaguars. Do you think he plays all 5 years for Jacksonville with this contract?
I do. At 26 years old, I think he will. I think that would put him at 31, and I think he will fulfill the contract. I think the Jags, I think his production will still merit it. Obviously, as you reach 30 in the NFL, your production starts to taper off at certain positions, but my gut tells me Josh Allen will play all 5 years of that deal here in Duval County, Jacksonville.
You bring up the 17.5 sacks, which is an awesome, awesome number. What are your expectations for him next year? As you said, $30 million. What should they be?
I think around 14 to 15 sacks, maybe north of that perhaps. But I think there's going to be more attention on Josh next year because of the contract and the fact that he had the 17.5 sacks. Opposing offensive coordinators are going to game plan to avoid Josh next year, which, by the way, is not a bad thing from Jacksonville's perspective because that's going to free up other guys on defense to make plays. That's the other reason you need to retain Josh Allen, because he might take a double team that frees up a Trayvon Walker or frees up a Roy Robertson Harris on the defensive line or an Eric Armstead, who the Jags got now. So, but I still think he'll be around 14, 15 sacks minimum next year.
Is the next payday for the quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, then moving forward?
That is a great question. If it were me, I wouldn't do it this year. But I'm hearing rumblings that sometime during the summer, they might try to get an extension done with Trevor, which would lay the groundwork out for the salary cap going into next year. So from that perspective, it wouldn't be bad. From my personal perspective, Mark, after what I saw at the end of this year, and I know Trevor was hurt, there was offensive line issues, receivers were missing, I'd like to see another year with him before I just give him this gigantic contract myself. I mean, not that I don't doubt he'll be the guy moving forward long term, but you've got that fifth-year option for a reason. I'd make him go out there and prove it for another year if it were me, but the gamble when you do that is if he is lights out, then it's going to cost even more to extend him the following year. So there's pros and cons both ways, but I think in the end, Trevor Lawrence will be the next major deal in Jacksonville. Whether it's this summer or next offseason, I think he will be the next extension.
We're here with John Ferry talking Jaguars football. We've not talked in a while. What are your thoughts where Calvin Ridley went to the division rival Tennessee for more money?
Well, from the rival perspective, it couldn't have been a worse situation for Jacksonville than for Calvin Ridley to land in Tennessee. That is the Jaguars' biggest rival, even though they're not their toughest opponent in that division now. It's the Houston Texans. From the financial aspect of it, good for Calvin. I would not have paid him that type of money if it had required that. Now, the Jags could have franchise tagged him if they had done the Josh Allen deal right, in my opinion. But that aside, I don't think he's worth what he got up in Tennessee. So he got a big payday up there because while Calvin Ridley was the bona fide deep threat for the Jags last year, and I'd still like to have him here, there were times last year where there was confusion. He ran the wrong route. He wasn't in sync with Trevor Lawrence. And there were games where he disappeared for a half or a game. So having said all that, I don't think Jacksonville would have gave him that big a contract, and I would not have if that's what it had taken to keep him.
Okay, on top of that, to get us to make sure we're on the same page here, what were your thoughts where Stephon Diggs went to the Houston Texans then?
I thought that was bad news for the Jaguars and anybody in that division because the Texans are all in to win right now. Not only with Stephon Diggs, but they got Danielle Hunter on the defensive line prior to Stephon Diggs. But adding Stephon Diggs to that receiving core that had Tank Dell and Nico Collins, and an ascending quarterback in one C.J. Stroud, I think he's going to be a superstar in this league. His rookie year was fantastic, and I don't think it was a fluke myself. So having said all that, from Jacksonville's perspective and Indianapolis and Tennessee, too, for that matter, you better have some guys in your secondary that can cover with those three receivers in the room. Now, the one downside of it from the Texans' perspective is Stephon Diggs can be a prima donna, do I dare say, meaning he could bring an attitude to the locker room if he doesn't think he's getting enough touches, enough passes coming his way. There were stories about that with him and Josh Allen, the other Josh Allen up in Buffalo. So, and it's only a one-year deal. He's a free agent after this year, for those that don't know. So it's a gamble on the Texans' part. But for this year, for the here and now, I think it's going to be dangerous from the Jaguars' perspective. They're going to have guys in the Jaguars' secondary, Tyson Campbell, Ronald Darby, Darnell Savage, and they might be leaning toward drafting a corner at number 17 in 2 weeks. Part of the reason might be because Stephon Diggs has been added to that receiving core that the Texans already had.
Are you jealous that Houston went from 2 years ago, the worst team in football, to now a chance, hey, maybe they're a Super Bowl contender?
Very, because I feel like Jacksonville never really had their chance to be on top of the mountain, on top of the division for an extended period of time, which last year at this time, the feeling in Northeast Florida, Mark, was, and I've talked to you on your show about this, Jacksonville would be the king of this division for 2 to 3 years with an ascending Trevor Lawrence. Houston looked like a team that was in a total rebuild. To their credit, they've hit all the right notes to get this thing up and running faster than any of us thought. And even Indianapolis looks like they might be fairly good. We'll see what Anthony Richardson does coming back. They had Minshew last year, but yeah, there's a lot of jealousy, not only from yours truly, but from Duval County in Northeast Florida, because now Jacksonville's kind of been forgotten nationally again, and Houston's getting all the attention, but the Jags got to go out there and make it happen on the field this year, and they can grab that spotlight back. And I still think they can, because we'll see what the Texans do this year. They're the favorites, there's no doubt. But just like Jacksonville, how do they handle expectations? Are they able to follow up last year with another great year? Jacksonville wasn't, as we know. We'll see what the Texans do.
We're here at John Ferry Sports Now. That's the NFL, and we'll get you back on, especially once the draft gets completed here in about 2 weeks. Let's go to the Gators. The Gators spring game coming up this Saturday. First off, I know you're a wild man. You like driving around the state. Are you attending the spring game?
Absolutely. I don't want to lose my reputation. I'll be driving down there bright and early Saturday morning. The game is at 1 o'clock in the swamp, Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, for those that want to go. It's free to the public as well, and there's not many things free anymore, so you might want to enjoy some spring football. It'll be a while before we see any more, at least from the Gator perspective. And it's going to be interesting to see DJ Lagway, Mark, the five-star quarterback recruit from Texas. He'll be starting for one of the teams on Saturday. Graham Mertz will be on the other side. And I'll be curious to see what the defense looks like. Now, I always preface this with, don't take a lot away from a spring game, because I've been victim of that years past. So, but having said that, I am excited to see some of the new guys. The wide receiver, DK, we're calling him, from Wisconsin, who played with Graham Mertz, the transfer on offense. Looking forward to seeing him. And I'm hearing great reports about Trey Wilson, Eugene Wilson III, but affectionately known as Trey Wilson, at receiver for the Gators. He will be the main guy now that Ricky Pearsall is moving on, speaking of the NFL draft.
You want to see Lagway, don't you?
There's no doubt. I've been wanting to see him for 2 years. I mean, it seems like we've been talking about DJ Lagway in Northeast Florida since 2022. So I can't wait to see this young guy out there. And again, it's a spring game, and he's new to the system. He enrolled in January, but I am dying to see what he looks like in person for the first time.
I told this to someone else earlier today. I don't think anyone's going to be in the bathroom when that guy gets on the field, right, on Saturday?
No, no way. I think it's going to be a large crowd there Saturday, and it's mainly going to be because of DJ Lagway. There's no doubt in my mind. And I'm not saying he's of this caliber, but I'm going to use an analogy here. He is to Gator fans right now what Caitlin Clark was to women's basketball. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be as good as Caitlin Clark, so I'm not saying that. But as far as the expectation, the anticipation, and wanting to view it, yeah, that's where he's at right now. Because let's face it, Mark, this Florida football team's been 11-14 the last 2 years. They've had three losing seasons in a row. Haven't been a lot to go down there and watch. There really hasn't, from the Gator fan perspective. So this is going to be a breath of fresh air and a lot of excitement to see what he looks like Saturday.
I like you use Caitlin Clark as an analogy. Is she gotten to that level? Because before you'd be like, oh, it's the Michael Jordan of this sport. But is Caitlin Clark so great at women's basketball that you can use her for other analogies? Is that what you just did?
I did. I think she is. The young lady's phenomenal. I mean, they had over 14 million, excuse me, watching a women's basketball game at 9:30 on a Friday night, including yours truly.
And then what was it?
Never had that kind of number.
And then
I believe they were close to 16, 17 million on Sunday for the final.
Yes.
So I think she's reached that point. I do. I really do.
What did you think of, speaking of basketball, what did you think of Calipari, where he's at Arkansas now?
I think it was good for all parties involved. I think sometimes you have to have a divorce. I mean, because Calipari was at Kentucky for 15 years. It had been 5 years since Kentucky had gone past the second round of the NCAA tournament. And no matter what Cal did, if he stayed in Kentucky, which the plan was he was going to return next year initially, him and Mitch Barnhart, the athletic director for Kentucky, went on a local TV show together a few weeks ago and said that. But the fan base was not going to be satisfied unless next year he at least got to a Final Four. And Cal said yesterday he thought it was time for the program to hear a new voice. And Cal's going to get north of $7 million per year, John Calipari, to coach Arkansas. And Arkansas's got a lot of resources dedicated to basketball. They've got a 24,000-seat arena in Fayetteville, for those that don't know. It's been a while since they've been a national player. They did make an Elite Eight with Eric Musselman a couple of years back, though. So I think it's good for Cal, a fresh start for John Calipari. And I think it's good for Kentucky because, honestly, I think if Calipari had come back next year to Kentucky, Mark, I think it was going to wind up he would have been fired at the end of the year. And I think that's why he decided to go now. So I think it's good for all parties to move on and get a fresh start.
I made this point yesterday. I know I felt bad afterwards, but I got to stick to my guns here. He is the last generation. It's old news. And look, he'll help Arkansas, I agree with you, but you look at UConn, their coach is 51 years old, and he's figured out NIL, and he's won two in a row. That guy's the top dog now. UConn's the top program. He's the best coach. This is the next generation of coaches. And when I saw that Monday where it's like, oh, Calipari, that's old generation. I want that guy. That guy at UConn, that's how I look at college basketball. How about you?
No, you're right. I mean, UConn is the blue blood, the king of the mountain in college basketball. They've won six national titles in the last 25 years, not just this year. And they've been to seven Final Fours. It's no longer Kentucky, North Carolina, and UCLA. That's yesterday's news. You're absolutely right. Dan Hurley's got it figured out. 51 years old. He's got a lot of runway in front of him, as you mentioned. Calipari's 65. So you're right. That is the end of a generation of those coaches where I would probably put Calipari in the generation with Mike Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, maybe Jim Boeheim, and all of them are gone. Cal's really the only one left now. So you're right. It's on to the next generation and NIL and the transfer portal, which really is the thing that I think ended it for Cal at Kentucky. He was still getting five stars in recruiting, but what he wasn't doing, and Mark, was going out and getting a couple of transfer portal players to mix in, with the 17 and 18 year olds. And when he would get to the tournament in March, he's playing teams that consist of 20, 21, 22, 23 year old mature men against young guys just out of high school. And I think that caught up with him. And he acknowledged that, Cal did, and said he is going to have to do things differently moving forward. But no doubt Dan Hurley in Connecticut are the kings of college basketball today.
And they could be better next year. It's funny, and I'll let you go, and I appreciate your help. We're here at John Ferry Sports Now. It's funny where it's like Calipari changed the game with the one and done, where he built that up, and then everyone started doing what he was doing, getting the one done. And then his undoing was that the transfer portal and NIL changed it where you don't do the one and done. That's what's fascinating to me, John. It's like, what?
It is fascinating. And there were two tenures for Cal. He was there 15 years, but before the transfer portal and NIL, the first 6 years, Cal made four Final Fours and won a national title. I think people forgot about that.
Yeah.
However, the last 9 years, they've made one Elite Eight. And like I said, they haven't been past the second round of the NCAA tournament this decade. So that's where Cal never adjusted.
And look, if you're a Kentucky fan, and I know they're delusional, I get it. They're Kentucky fans. They want to win. Alabama's in the Final Four. Are you kidding me? Alabama? Really? We're Kentucky. How are we losing to Alabama? That's what you're thinking right now. It's ridiculous. It is. Look, I'm just, hey, if we're venting, I'm just happy the Gators got back to the tournament. Okay? Like, that's the expectation. At least they got there.
I am too, and I'll just close with this, Mark, for Gator fans listening out there. Keep an eye out on that transfer portal, because I think Todd Golden will make some news in the next couple of weeks. There's been some visits from some big men or from around the country, and look for 2 to 3 to be brought in to the Florida basketball group for next season under Todd Golden.
Do you think Clayton gets drafted?
I think Clayton's going to wind up returning to Florida.
That's his pick. I think the draft is so terrible this year and weak, I could see him getting drafted. I'm not kidding. So, like, Zach Edey's going to be a top 10 pick because it's so weak. So there you go. I'm giving you all my hot takes. John Ferry, Sports Now, thank you so much for coming on as always, and have a great day.
Mark, it's always an honor and a pleasure. Thank you.